Welcome back to Rockhound Radio, your podcast for gaming and then everything and anything in between. From ghosts and ghouls to Bigfoot to horror myths to Pokemon to D&D, we got it all here. Thanks for tuning in. What is up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. It is Friday, and man, oh man, I'm trying something out a little bit new this week. So hopefully with this episode, you guys will hear a little bit of background music in the, just kind of be there. So, it just kind of helps break up the monotony. I listen to stuff like this when I record. Some of the stuff that I downloaded for the episodes, I listen to more like lo-fi, like almost like a techno kind of thing. But I thought this would be pretty cool. I cruised around the web and found a couple free sites for licensing. And so just if you're a content creator out there, do not be afraid to... And this is going to sound crazy. I mean, I've talked about it before, but whatever you're looking for, type in your question and then type in Reddit thread, because chances are somebody on Reddit has already asked this question. Like, I was looking for background music. I literally typed in, reliable podcast background music, got on Reddit, and I found where somebody had made a Google Doc of, 40 different websites listing what you can use for free, what sites require you to donate to use, blah, blah, blah. But I just thought it was really cool. So don't be afraid to bust out that old Reddit thread, and you might be able to find your solution pretty dang easy. So this week I wanted to take a step back and talk about, man, I'm always like a week late, I feel like, talking about stuff, but at least this one is like the trend is still going on, essentially. Not as hype as it was, but I want to talk about Fallout 4, or not Fallout 4, yeah, I've been playing too much Fallout 4. I want to talk about the TV show. So if you are a Fallout fan, or even if you're just a, like, I don't know, more action, I guess, like a good story, good TV show buff, or whatever you want to call it, definitely get on Amazon Prime and check out the Fallout TV show. So it is... So let me look up the timeline. Let's see here. Alright, so I pulled up a timeline, and basically we'll go over the timeline and then we'll talk about like just the TV show in general. I think anybody that's even even somebody like coming from me that's a huge fan of the series and have been for a long time, even somebody that's really maybe never played the games, my wife even watched like the first episode with me the night we watched it, and she's like, this is pretty good. And the first episode is just like it's like dipping your finger in the water. There's like so much that gets foreshadowed, and even in episode one. So anyway, we'll go back to the timeline. So the timeline for the Fallout franchise, if you're not familiar, essentially there was a giant nuclear war that happened, and the government built all these bomb shelters, right, for, you know, some of the richest and wealthiest, and then all the scientists and the greatest musicians in the world, and, you know, shit like that. I'm going to kind of taper off the Fallout thing. Like, once we get so far into the episode, I'm probably going to get sidetracked and talk about, like, how I think that this is like a total possibility, right? Like, outside of a video game, like, this is some shit that could actually be going on. Anyway, back to the video game side of things. So their lore and background is in 2077 is the Great War. So that was when the nukes were dropped. Fallout 76, which is the latest Fallout game in the franchise, is in 2102, which is like the reclamation day for whatever, like they come out of the vaults in, I believe it's West Virginia. I don't know. I haven't played a whole lot of 76. And then you have the old PC games, Fallout 2, and those were in the years, well, I guess it really doesn't matter year-wise because, I mean, not a whole lot of people probably, I guess it doesn't really matter. But yeah, so like Fallout and Fallout 2 were like over the top, I don't even know what you'd call them, I guess, over the top RPGs, I guess, for a PC. And then the events of Fallout 3, the events of Fallout New Vegas, the events of Fallout 4, and then finally the TV show. So the TV show happens, I don't know, about 10 years or so after the events of Fallout 4, which was the last, or not the last game, but the last game in canon. So it's kind of crazy to think that all this shit happened in like the video games, like leading up to the TV show, because the TV show is, it's awesome because it really, I don't know, it really like reaches out there to the people that aren't as familiar with the show, or maybe the series, the series. And then it caters to people like, I don't want to call myself a super fan, because, but I mean, I guess sort of, kind of, I don't know. I've always loved Fallout. So like I picked up on like a bunch of little, I don't know what I would call like Easter eggs to somebody who's familiar with the series, but it is really freaking good. So the TV show does a lot of answering like canon questions as far as, you know, like what's, you know, how does this correlate with this? And I don't know, it's just a, I think it's a really good TV show. I don't really vouch for TV shows that often, very rarely. A lot of the times I've set out with good intentions, like, man, this is going to be a good TV show, right? And it, I just, I don't know, I've always loved movies more than TV shows. Because I feel like in a movie, right, like from a writing perspective side of it, and I get this a lot of, well, I'll tell you a little story about that in a second, but the a lot of it is looking at it from like a writer side of things or a content creator side of things, which I've been trying to do more lately as far as like in storytelling, and especially with a little side project that I've been working on, and then plus like playing D&D with Rango that I play weekly. So for me, it's very satisfying for like a thick, juicy plot and like a lot of like crazy shit happens, right? And then like the worst thing that I think can happen is like if the significant drama doesn't happen, right? Like if you have two characters that are, you know, say there's like obvious tension or whatever, and it's like the most, I guess the thing that would make the most sense for like a dramatic point of view or etc. would be like one character, like there's always like the moral question, right? Like, you know, one lives, one dies or whatever. We'll just use that as an example. But a lot of TV shows do a lot of hyping up and then they like never act on it, right? They just want to keep you drawing you in, and then they like never act on that dramatic or that like that thing that could have popped up or whatever it was. And these are all just several different examples, but the idea is, the reason I don't really get into TV shows so much is because it feels like it's a never-ending dangle, right? And you're always chasing a plot, which I get that, but most of the TV shows that I actually, and like I start to invest a little bit of time in, like I just get aggravated because like I get you need to, you know, dangle the treat in front of the, you know, in front of the person to say, oh, you know, keep coming back for more, but like don't leave us hanging, you know what I mean? Give us something, and then you can always like rebuild or always restring along shit, you know what I mean? Just give us those little dramatic, I don't know, give us a character death or give us a character arc. Don't just do a bunch of crazy shit, bury the lead, and then like don't reference it for four seasons. Like that to me is just so aggravating. But anyway, but yeah, I just, God, I don't even remember how I even got on that tangent, but that's just my perspective from like a writing side of things. I honestly feel like in storytelling and in, if you're going to get involved in any kind of anything creative, like you need to, it doesn't, I guess you just have to remember that not every story has to be like the picture perfect story, right? Like there's obviously a lot of art out there that's very good, but it's very, in a sense, dark, whether it's, dealing with like emotional things, like maybe repressed trauma, whatever it is. So there's just a lot of, I don't know, there's a lot of like leeway out there. Anyway, we'll get back to the TV show. The TV show does a great job at like even introducing the characters. Like I have the cast here. I've almost forgot about this. I thought they casted really, really well. Cameron and I have been talking about it quite a bit, especially about the ghoul that is played by Walter Goggins, which he is, I will say, like two of my favorite character arcs in the entire TV show so far. Well, I should probably say three. My top one is definitely the ghoul that's played by Walter Goggins. He's just like this. Well, I'm not going to spoil too much of it, but yeah, he was like a cowboy actor, and then in The Wasteland, he's a ghoul, and he's just a badass, right? So that's, I mean, everybody loves the, I didn't really care for him too much in the first couple of episodes, and if you're like me and you're a little skeptical, give it time. He'll grow on you. At least that's what I felt like. I would definitely say that the second one for me is probably the, where is he at? Aaron Moten, I think is how you say his last name. He plays Maximus in the Brotherhood of Steel. And it is just such a, I don't know, it's like a cool, seeing his story arc come together in the 8 episodes is really kind of wild, because it's like up and down and back and forth. But I truly, like, I've always been a Brotherhood of Steel fan, like, in the games. Now, I'm not saying that, like, morally they're the greatest, because they're kind of like, if you get into the game, pretty much it's just like anything, even in real life. Like, if you investigate something heavily, you're going to find something evil in it. So, like, they're not necessarily, like, the greatest, but as far as, like, the video games, like, I've always liked the Brotherhood of Steel. And I just, I don't know, like, I've always just thought they were cool, right? So, like, in the TV show, you see like, oh man, these guys are badasses. But the TV show, I think, does a really good job at portraying them as like fucking pretty rough around the edges. Like they're you get a lot more of that serious tone and nature, like, on their side of things than you do, I think, in the game, which I think is really cool. And then my last one, which I don't think that the guy that played it got as much credit as he should have. I'm trying to find him on here. I don't know his name. Oh, I will say too, like, the what's his name? Like, one of the Brotherhood of Steel kids, he's been making a bunch of TikToks lately. His story in the show is pretty cool. They do like a bunch of little side stories. I'm trying to look this up. Norm. Yeah, okay. That's who it is. Okay, I just didn't even recognize him. Yeah, so the Lucy McLean, that's played by Ella Purnell. She's like the vault dweller chick that you see in like all the commercials or whatever. So in the vault where she lives or grew up, her younger brother, Norm McLean, and he's, I don't know how old he is. It's kind of hard to say. Maybe I just missed it, but he's like one of my favorite characters in the show, just because he's kind of got like his own little miniature side story. And he's just a cool character, I think. Like, there's so many little things that, like, for instance, he's hacking, like, some of the Vault-Tec computers. And the hacking that he's doing is literally, like, the hacking you do in the game. So there's so many, like, little, like, it's like little respective little nods to the Fallout lore. And it's just super cool to see that play out. And I honestly, like I said, I'm not going to spoil anything for anybody if you haven't got the chance to watch it. Or maybe you're trying to finish it up. Maybe you haven't even started it yet. I'm telling you, it's a good TV show if you like action and you like a little bit of a crazy story. But yeah, I thought it was, I don't know, like, I think his scene overall, and like, I think there's 8 episodes, and they're like, a few of them are, they're majority around about an hour long, but that hour flies by, because like, I that's how a good movie or a good TV show should be. You know, you should get sucked into it, and then they're like, holy shit, I've already watched 3 episodes of it. But yeah, it's, I don't know. I've always been a big fan of Fallout, and seeing a TV show come out and be like, yeah, we fucking did it and we did it right and everybody loves it is just so satisfying to me. So let's see here. What was I had something that I wanted to talk about and now I do not remember. All right, I remembered. So in the show, because it's not really going to spoil anything, but in the show, the ghoul shows up somewhere, and it's like at a farm basically, and there's like a father, his son, and like a daughter, and the daughter's pretty young, she's maybe 7 or 8, and the ghoul's there, like, he wasn't invited, right? The ghoul's just kind of, he shows up there looking for information, and he's sitting like at their dining room table like eating when the father and son come back, and like the son's like in his, I don't know, he's a teenager, probably 15, 16, 17, something like that. Hi, kitty cat. And he, like, his, the guy's daughter is like serving the ghoul. Kitty, get out of here. You can't, I'm sorry, you can't walk across the computer. Sorry, I had a little interruption here. My daughter is getting very anxious, kitty anxious for attention. Anyway, he's like, he gets the food and he tells, like, he he tells the daughter, like, you know, go outside now or whatever. And he's talking to the father and the son, and there's this like really dramatic scene that happens where he talks about killing the kid's brother, and he was like, yeah, da 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 da, you know, I'm the one who shot your brother. And this, he's like, you're gonna tell me this. And the father's like, tell him whatever he wants to know. So the kid tells him, and he's like, the ghoul says something about basically taking care, like wrapping up a loose end, like tying up a loose end, you know, insinuating that he's what's stopping him from shooting the guy's son, right? And he's like, he told you what he wanted, da 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 da. And the ghoul says, well, he had, like, it was, God, I'm gonna butcher it, but it's a really good scene, I promise. But essentially the ghoul says, just because he doesn't pull a gun on me today doesn't mean he won't in the future. And the kid like goes to grab something, and the ghoul just shoots him like dead square in the chest. And I mean, it was like a kill shot. And then he just walks out of the house and continues on. So to make you understand, like, that is totally, that just fits Fallout in general. So basically in Fallout, it is mixed. It's always been a mix of moral decisions. You know, you can go someplace and you can, you know, maybe you can bribe somebody to get information. Maybe you have to help somebody do information. Maybe you threaten them and, you know, do. So it's just really cool to see like the writers be able to say, you know, hey, I want to do this. And I really feel like that is one of the things, like, that's just the ghoul's character, right? He's a cowboy, dude. He just goes out there and fucking owns bones and walks around the Fallout nuclear. Okay, I definitely thought for a second that I didn't unpause my recording, so I was just talking into thin air. You know, he's just a fucking Roman cowboy, dude. And a lot of the Fallout decisions, like I said, that are moral, it's either like, most of the time it's like, eh, you can do good. And then the other half of the time's like, eh, you're not gonna do so good. You know, just to use Fallout 3, the game, for example, there's a giant, it's a nuclear bomb in the middle of this town called Megaton. And you have the decision to disarm the bomb or set it off. So, I mean, you can essentially like save the town, or you can blow the bomb up and level the entire town. So that's just kind of how it is, man. Fallout's just kind of mixed with moral decisions. So let's see here. I wanted to talk about something else too. Well, I mean, I guess I kind of already did, but I guess on another side of things, like, don't get me wrong, like, this is all, you know, like, most of, you'll hear a bunch of crazy Fallout stuff, and it'll be, like, I've talked about some of the experiments in the vaults, oh man, excuse me, so on and so forth, but don't think for a second, like, I truly believe that this is probably some, I don't know, man, this could be some, oh god, I'm shaking everything, there's some, honestly, real life shit, because if you think about it, preppers and doomsday preppers, like, these people have been doing this shit for a long time. It's not like people just decided 2 years ago, like, fuck, we need to start prepping for the end of the world. There's people that fucking build their own bunkers, you know what I mean? So there's no doubt in my mind that there are some serious underground fucking hidey holes. I can't imagine a world where there wouldn't be, honestly, you know, because I will say, like, I've heard several people talk about this, but it's something that's kind of always stuck with me. If you've seen it, read about it in a book, maybe seen it on a TV show, a movie, comic book, any type of media that you've consumed, it's either happening, we've been there, done that, like, nothing that you see, like, fiction-wise, as far as, like, I think, like, aliens and all the fucking crazy shit, Fallout, anything and everything, like, you draw inspiration from something, right? So all these ideas, it just feels like sometimes some of the shit, you're just like, man, like, I feel like that could be 100% something that could happen. I mean, just look at all the fucking, this is a very broad and random example, but just, you know what I mean? Like, use the zombie outbreak for an instance. There's just so many, God, so many different whatever, but yeah, it's hard to imagine, like, a world where these crazy wild possibilities aren't there. You know what I mean? It'd be too easy for them. I don't know, not too easy, but I don't know. I guess my big thing is, and going back to the TV show, like the Vault-Tec that built these vaults, like talk about how much money they have like wrapped up in all these vaults. And I think there's like 100 and some across the thing. And in the show, they like refer to being able to save like 0.2 or two, not even, I want to say it's maybe like 2% of the population, but it'd be like all the high rank and rich people and like all the scientists and all the, you know, all the Ivy League professors and, you know, so on and so forth. But could you really like, could you fucking picture a world where that is like, is the case? Cause I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm a very firm believer in if you have money, then you have power. I believe that for quite some time. If you just look at anybody that's rich, you know, what problems do they have, you know, besides the fucking paparazzi or the media trying to, you know, and most people can buy their way out of anything with money, whether they side up with the good side or the bad side of Hollywood, you know what I mean? Just to be broad about it. But yeah, don't think for a second that there's not, you know, deals going on every day for shitty, shady tasks or whatever that may be, you know, things that are maybe being hidden or whatever, but there's too many, I don't even want to call them smart, but there's too many people out there with the means to be able to get things done with a vast amount of money. So it's pretty easy for me to believe that there's probably, you know, I mean, could you really imagine though, if the government was like pouring these giant concrete vaults for people like underground, you know, it's not out of the fucking realm of possibilities. I mean, there's always been talk about like, what do they talk like the president's like in an underground bunker somewhere or whenever they do this or do that. So you definitely know that in the past they're like, oh, we'll just build a bunker underground. And now with today's technology, I am terrified to think about how easy it would be to conceal something like that underground or build around it, or even like, I mean, honest to God, our technology is so good. You could literally build something and then almost like put a projection up and be able to cast like a projection alongside of like a rock face and cover up like a fucking, I don't know, like a plane, like a jet hole in the side of the freaking rock face, like in a movie or something. But yeah, like I fully believe that there's enough wild technology and smarts out there to be able to fund and operate whatever kind of really show you want to, which is a crazy, God, that'd be a, I don't know, a crazy world that we live in. So we're going to finish wrapping up about that. I almost forgot. I'm sitting here pulling at strings like, God, I got a few minutes left. What am I going to talk about? But yeah, what I wanted to talk about was, I think I've hinted about it a little bit. I talked to a good friend of ours last night and was kind of teasing him on some of the characters. And, you know, we were talking about the campaign and I told him that the project that I'm working on, I've got 7 episodes. So I'm hoping in the next month to month and a half, I will have enough episodes to start dropping weekly episodes of a side project D&D where I am the DM and I'm playing with Clark, Dalton, and Cameron from the Drunken Spear. And yeah, we're having a lot of fun playing this little side campaign. We're about 7 episodes in, about an hour a session. So you can look forward to seeing those like weekly content drops, which I've got everything saved on the computer and backed up and, you know, all the tech side of things. Essentially what I'm going to do is when I feel like I got enough banked, I will start dropping them and they'll probably, a shout out to a good friend of mine, Zach. We were talking about it last night. He's like, yeah. And he's like, dude. And he's like, what about Tuesdays? And I was like, hell yeah, Tuesdays it is. So yeah, we're be on the lookout for that. Hopefully in the next month or so, I can start dropping Tuesday episodes where, you know, you're going to hear us play some D&D, man. So I'm so fucking stoked. I can't even honestly contain myself knowing that I have 7 episodes. I'm like, I could put one up now, but I'm like, no, that wouldn't be fair to everybody. Cause like when I start the story, I want to be able to drop it on a consistent basis. That way, if you guys enjoy it and you're like week to week, you're like, fuck, man, like what's happening? Like, I gotta know. You're gonna know that like the following Tuesday, you can hear the results of that. So yeah, that's all I got for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. And yeah, this has been Rockout Radio. You can find me anywhere you follow your podcast. You can also find me on Facebook, TikTok, YouTube. I haven't really been as active on YouTube as I was. And just for recording reasons, we're still, and plus too, like streaming's tough. It really is. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of, I thought that I would, maybe if I just did it full time instead of just trying to do it part time. But yeah, trying to do that part-time video streaming is hard. But hey, that's why we stick to the podcast, because it's easy, man. So yeah, thanks for listening, guys. I will see you next week. And yeah, stay tuned for more.